Hello and welcome back. This is part two of Can't Wait. You just streamed part one right above, I hope. So now that you're down on the southern hemisphere of episode number one, we're going to get right back into the NBA playoff talk with who is going to have their coming out party this postseason. This question from Hezekiah in a scary barn. Who do you think is going to have their coming out party this postseason, Matt?
You know, I struggled with this one just because it's hard to define coming out party in terms of what level of fame and recognition have they already had. But I knew that I wanted to focus on one of the Hawks because I think that even though the Hawks have been a 60-win team this year, people still have sort of slept on the Hawks. They don't realize that they're such a fun team. They don't realize what a good team it is. And part of that is that they're made up of a lot of really solid but unassuming players, guys who have been under the radar for a little while. But your Al Horfords, your Paul Millsaps, your Kyle Korvers, those guys have been recognized already this year, even if some of the casual fans don't appreciate it. You know, they had four starters in the All-Star game.
They're critically acclaimed.
Yeah, critically acclaimed, exactly. But despite the critical acclaim for all those other guys, one guy who I think could have a really big postseason is Damari Carroll.
Interesting.
And the reason for that is that I'm projecting ahead a few weeks in the future and being realistic about the fact that nobody cares about the Hawks playing Brooklyn. Nobody will watch that series. That will probably have the lowest ratings of the postseason.
I'm already blocking it out of my head.
Yeah.
I have no interest in the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. But what does matter, though, and really in the Eastern Conference, the one compelling narrative is whether Cleveland's going to be able to make it out, whether all the pieces come together and they are crowned as the Eastern Conference champions. And I think the Hawks are the team that is most likely to face them in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that will be the first time that people really pay attention to the Hawks. And for that series, which I think will be a very good series, Carroll will be the difference between LeBron having an otherworldly LeBron kind of game and having a pedestrian you can live with kind of LeBron game. And he has, this season at least, been very successful at containing LeBron. He fits the mold physically of some of the guys who have given him trouble in the past. And you think about last year with Kawhi Leonard being the finals MVP. The year before that, Kawhi, despite coming up short, was very strong against LeBron as well. And Kawhi's on another plane. I mean, he's probably the best defender in the NBA. But I think that Carroll, if he plays the series of his life, is going to really get onto a lot of folks' radar. He's also just a fun guy to watch because he hustles. He's a cool-looking guy. He's got a great nickname. They call him the Junkyard Dog. And he's going to be a free agent and make a lot of money this year. So I think he'll be a name that we hear a lot of at the end of this playoffs.
That's a good one because Damari Carroll fits a lot of gaps. There's a lot of teams that need a Damari Carroll, and the supply-demand curve is going to work in his favor. And if he has that coming out party and he goes from kind of an anonymous to casual fans guy to somebody that actually goes toe-to-toe in a 6-7 game series against the best player in the world, I mean, we're talking about $8 million a year as opposed to what the Hawks got him for, which was basically nothing.
Yeah.
So who do you think is going to have the big coming out party, Rusty?
Well, I think Matt's selection is really interesting. I could see it falling a few different ways, you know. For one, Jimmy Butler is a really good candidate for a breakout. If the Bulls end up in the finals, Jimmy Butler is going to be the reason why. He and Joakim Noah are going to be the main reasons as to why that happens. I love Derrick Rose, and I think he is looking Derrick Rosey and starting to look like the player we kind of expected. If Cleveland were to go to the finals, I could see Shumpert turning into somebody that he's the kind of gritty player that I really like to cheer for. And then those kind of gritty players a lot of times really shine in the brightest of lights. And so you could see him, when it comes to the Eastern Conference Finals, finally being in a limelight and really turning it on. You could see him scoring more, I think, and really, really throwing his body around. And that's the kind of thing that a lot of people like to see. That's the feel-good kind of underdog sort of thing that people get behind. And then obviously Steph Curry. I mean, Golden State is, people still don't give them enough credit, and they are probably going to the finals. Not to give away my pick, but but Steph Curry is going to be coming out for a lot of people. Like you were saying, our moms are going to watch Steph Curry.
Yeah.
A lot of people who would not watch basketball will be intrigued by what Steph Curry does. Those three-pointers, the way he does it, it's exciting. It's fun to watch. It's a fun kind of basketball, and we haven't seen it in too long. And so Steph Curry is your obvious pick from the West for for really blowing up during this playoffs.
Yeah, the guy that I'm going to pick was alluded to just briefly a minute ago, and we haven't seen him play for 3 years, and I'm cheating a little bit by picking a former MVP to have a coming out party, you know, in the playoffs, because everybody knows what Derrick Rose can do when he's healthy, but it's been so long, and it's been so heartbreaking and so devastating, it's just so terrible that somebody of his caliber just has not been able to play at that peak level as often as, you know, frankly, he should. So just seeing him look like himself and get, like, really into it, not just even, like, the plays he was making, but, like, getting up after a hard fall and, like, clapping himself up and kind of firing up team, because he's always been kind of a reserved, quiet guy. But seeing him take more of that, like, emotional vocal leader position, knowing that this is a rare opportunity to be in the NBA, let alone the NBA playoffs, let alone in a position where he gets to make players better, let alone be healthy. I mean, just being healthy. You know, I feel like he's in this weird situation where he had, like, he saw his NBA life flash before his eyes over these last 3 years. This could all be gone. And so now that he's at least looking to be physically like the guy we saw win the MVP in 2011, I feel like if they go on a run and he goes toe-to-toe with LeBron, that was the showdown we wanted for the last 5 years. If he's able to make that happen and kind of reestablish himself as a elite guy, you know, an all NBA guy, that just makes the league better. You know, we've been down a guy these past few years. You're worried about that's what's going to happen with Kevin Durant. You worry that when you see these elite level transcendent players that things can happen. And to see Derrick Rose in a position to maybe reclaim that again, like the way that Elvis, I kind of see it like Elvis in 68, the 68 comeback special.
Right.
I could just see it being this like electrifying, galvanizing thing. So that's what I'm rooting for. I want to see Derrick Rose have that coming out party.
It would be great.
It would be just so fun. So we have another listener question. The kid from Pearl Jam's Jeremy video wants to know, who is your favorite random end of the bench guy?
Go ahead, Matt. I'll let...
Yeah, well, I think that my favorite random player in this year's playoffs is on the Toronto Raptors, and what he's famous for is his randomness and obscurity, and that is Bruno Caboclo, who's the Brazilian teenager who was drafted in the first round by the Raptors this year. And if you were watching the broadcast of the draft, Fran Fraschilla, who is, you know, the draft expert
the
on these
guru.
International,
yes.
Yeah, the guru of international prospects. You know, he's in Latvia scouting guys who are in, you know, seventh grade pickup games. So his famous line about Bruno was that he was 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Yes.
And he was so far off everybody's radar that they basically didn't have anything to say about him because other than Fran Fraschilla, literally they'd never even heard of him. But he has actually been on their NBA roster for most of the season and he had one shining moment. His NBA debut, he played like 12 minutes of garbage time in a 50-point win over the Bucks and was really fun and great. Other than that, he's, you know, just played random minutes. But he's this complete unknown filled with all of the great potential that fans get so excited about these, you know, international prospects. And especially with the success that Giannis has had in Milwaukee, I think the Toronto fans are all sort of have this Bruno fetish that they just suspect that he really is going to be the Brazilian Kevin Durant that he was hyped to be. But who knows if he'll ever turn into something. But I love the idea that a year ago, this Brazilian teenager was, you know, completely off of the grid. And now here he is, you know, traveling on fancy jets to NBA playoff games.
You know what my favorite part about Bruno is? He shows just how absurd this one and done rule is. If he was an American, he'd have to go to school. He'd have to, you know, show himself to be an NBA caliber player. But since he wasn't born here, he was able to, you know, just be some random kid with long limbs in Brazil. I mean, how old's this guy? They say he's 18-ish.
I think that he's 19.
I mean, he looks like he could be 15 and a half for all we know.
Right.
And so the fact that this kid gets to be in the NBA, but Carl Anthony Towns had to wait a year at Kentucky, that's nonsense.
It
so just having him in the league makes the NCAA look stupid.
Right.
and I love him for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about you, Rusty? Who you
this
got?
This is a tough one for me. I really don't have the best of answers, I don't feel like. I like Boston a lot, and so I like Kevin Olynyk. He's really an interesting little player to me. And
with
he's
that
not
shaggy,
quite the,
stupid hair.
With the stupid hair, exactly. I kind of like that about him. I guess that's going to be my answer. There's also Kufus.
Costa Kufus.
Over
thank
there
in
you.
Memphis. The guy
yes.
that Denver gave away for Darrell Arthur and nothing.
And yeah. nothing.
That's a real starting center that's backing up the best center in the league.
He's a really nice player on your bench. He's not the 12th man by any means, but he's still
he
far
can swing
down
a playoff
the bench.
Series.
Yes, he could swing a playoff series. And so that's a pretty interesting guy to me, too.
You know who my favorite end-of-bench guy is? Because he's not an end-of-bench guy anymore. He used to be. And he provides inspiration for all the 14th and 15th men in the league that, you know, if you stick to your guns, you work hard, you could be Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, his it was always his enthusiasm that was so infectious. He became like a cult favorite because of his bench celebrations. Mm-hmm. He seemed to have a new celebration for each guy.
Yeah.
You know, like the way that's like David Ortiz has a different handshake for each of his teammates. It seemed like Bazemore had a different over-the-top celebration for each of his guys, depending on what they did. I love that attention to detail. Mm-hmm. But he actually plays now.
Yeah.
He's a real guy for the Hawks, and with the horrific thing that happened to Thabo Sefolosha that I really don't want to get into, he is going to have an opportunity to really contribute to a championship-level team. Mm-hmm. They're going to need him. He makes threes. He's really athletic. He defends. He was able to turn a pretty intriguing athletic profile with minimal NBA basketball skills. He was able to fill gaps in a way that he kind of responded to the way the league was shifting, and he found that those 3-and-D guys were becoming much more valuable than they had. He doesn't have to be a guy that creates offense. He doesn't have to be a guy that goes out there and gets 30 of his own points. He just needs to go out there and defend, make plays, bring that enthusiasm that he put into bench celebrations into actually making functional plays on the court. And everybody that is right now outside the lineup looking in can look at Kent Bazemore and say, I can do this too.
I'm looking at you, Zoran Dragic. You have a chance.
Man, he's that nepotism thing that's happening in Miami. That's one of my favorite things where Goran Dragic is like, if you trade me, you also have to trade my brother with me. God, that's so good. So we have one more question. It's a two-parter from good old Tom.
Good old Tom wants
to know,
wow,
who is your dream matchup for the finals and who is your prediction? For the finals.
Can I say something about good old Tom first?
Please do.
Please.
I didn't know that he submitted this question, but I went to college in Hartford, Connecticut, and good old Tom's was in the Hartford area. And it was – they had, you know, their great, very iconic commercials, and it was – they just had a few branches in and around Hartford. And it was one of the iconic local commercials that you'd see during the 4 years that I was in college. Lo and behold, I move back to Tucson, and who comes with me but good old Tom, who retires to Tucson and brings his great commercials with him and now has locations in Connecticut and Tucson. So
we have you to thank for good old Tom.
Yeah, I think that he had the idea for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway,
would.
I love good old Tom.
Well, since your best friend asked the question, you give us your dream matchup and you give us who you actually think is going to be in the finals.
Okay, well, I think that for my dream matchup, I've got one that is – probably Adam Silver's nightmare matchup, and that is the Spurs and the Hawks. I think that just from a basketball perspective, that would be a really fun series. Both teams are really very pleasant teams to watch. They move the ball really well. They're similarly built. The Hawks are kind of Spurs East. You know, Budenholzer is a Popovich disciple, and Danny Ferry came from that stock as well. So they've really modeled their organization on San Antonio, and I think that the product would be really fun to watch. Mostly, though, it's my dream finals because it keeps the Cavaliers out of the finals, and that's what I want more than anything else as a spurned Miami Heat fan.
But at least it's not petty.
Yeah. But also, I will say that the Spurs, you know, this we say it every year, but this might be their last run. And in my old age, I've grown to really appreciate Spurs basketball, and I would love to see them get one more ring before Tim Duncan rides off into the sunset.
Not bad. What do you think, Rusty?
Not bad at all. Well, I want to start off with saying that my dream matchup would include the Boston Celtics because I love Brad Stevens.
Okay.
And so they have no chance, zero chance of beating Cleveland.
They have the least amount of talent.
They have the least amount of talent, but he gets so much out of
that
talent.
He really does.
It's amazing to watch. And so That alone makes them my dream matchup. And honestly, Golden State's my dream matchup because I love to watch him play. So I guess Boston versus Golden State is somehow my dream matchup, but it obviously won't happen. It's a dream.
Well, one thing that's fun about that Boston team, though, other than the fact that they have so little NBA talent, is they've got so much great college talent.
The best.
Oh,
they've
got all these guys who are the epitome of dominant college players who have games that don't quite translate to the NBA.
You can almost say the same about their coach.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the answer. If, like, do you think Kentucky could beat the Sixers? Well, I guess the Celtics being in the playoffs kind of tells you that if you build this weirdly effective college team that spaces the floor and runs cool out of bounds plays, you can make something happen. Mm-hmm. My dream finals matchup, I'm going to tweak this just slightly, because what I like to do is just send sports into utter chaos. I want to see a rule where the two teams in the finals can select one player from a lottery team to join their team.
I like that.
They don't have to. If they think it will upset their chemistry, they can just go with who brought them there. But if they feel like if somebody got hurt, let's say the Spurs made the finals and Tony Parker twisted an ankle, and they're looking around and they say, why don't we have Eric Bledsoe jump in for these seven games? And you get somebody, just some random out of nowhere star that kind of should be here anyway, to just make things really interesting. Or if you've got a team where you need like one more 3-point shooter, you go grab Anthony Morrow.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he'd be perfect.
You just park him in the corner for 15 minutes a game. You feel like that's a hole on your roster, you go get him. You can go get yourself a rim protector if you feel like you need
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, go get the Stifle Tower.
Yeah.
It'd be phenomenal. Or do you think that a team would just go ahead and go with a nuclear option and say, we're bringing in Russell Westbrook? I don't think they would, because you got to the finals. And whatever he does is he plays his own thing. He's a soloist.
Right.
And so it would just be phenomenal. Or like if, let's say Kevin Durant decided he was healthy enough for 2 weeks. And you just got to bring in Kevin Durant for your team and just... It's obviously never going to happen, but that is my dream rule quirk, to see if any team would actually go out and get a mercenary for their seven-game series.
So do you have a particular dream scenario in mind that would have the best drama for that scenario?
I think it would be so good if the Cavs made that run and they decided, we're bringing Deion Waiters back. Deion Waiters, this was the plan all along. We're going to send you to Oklahoma City. You're going to submarine them. You're going to make sure they never sniff the playoffs. We get to the finals, we're bringing you back. That's what I want to see.
That'd be good. I like that.
And so,
that's
but
drama.
I don't think it'll happen. Yeah. But see, this is why I should run sports.
Well, and this is what we can do when we play the video games in between, like during halftime, is we can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
So.
But honestly, I think the teams that end up in the finals, and I think we're all going to kind of come close to the same two teams, it's going to be Cleveland, and I think it's going to be Golden State. I think the Spurs absolutely have a legit shot at it. I think that whoever wins that Spurs-Clippers round one, I wouldn't be surprised if either of those teams were in the finals.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think we're going to see LeBron James, Steph Curry, the most fun team, and the most, I don't know what you would call Cleveland. The most interesting, most storyline-centric team.
Sure. Most contrived.
Contrived is a good word. I just think that's where we're headed. It just feels like, you know, you don't want to see LeBron, Matt, because he spurned your Miami Heat. But I think as a general NBA fan, the playoffs are more interesting when he's involved.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah. And he's been involved in every single playoff series for the last 4 years. Think about how crazy that is.
Yeah.
It's four straight finals.
Yeah.
Win or lose, he's been in the playoffs as long as the playoffs have gone this whole time.
Yeah.
That's nuts. And so I just feel like, you know, the Hawks are a good story, and I think the Bulls pose an interesting threat if Rose is at like 90% Rose. I just think it's going to be Cleveland, because he doesn't lose in the playoffs unless he's in the finals against somebody that's equally as good.
Yeah.
I just feel like the Warriors, you know, everybody wants to try to poke holes in this quote-unquote jump-shooting team that also is the best defensive team in the league. Mm-hmm. They have run over the league. A 10-point differential is not anything to take lightly. And we all talked about how dominant the Western Conference was this year. Just how incredible it was, like 1 through about 10 or 11. They still won 67 games. To do that in this conference, in this day and age, when all these teams have access to the same kinds of information, the same kinds of training, the same kinds of resting players strategically, and they still won 67 games? That means they're really good. I don't see holes. I think it would take an injury, honestly, for them to not make the finals. What do you think?
I think that the only path that I can foresee that's realistic, and obviously injuries, you know, that throws a wrench in everything, but the Spurs over the last 20 games in their classic Spursian fashion have rounded into form
as they do the
whirling wheel of basketball death that they have been. And Kawhi Leonard,
he's a problem.
He has been the best perimeter defender in the league for the last couple years. I think now he's just the best defender, period.
Yes.
His offensive game has taken a step forward. Tony Parker is looking more like Tony Parker again. They have all of the parts there. Danny Green has gone from being a very nice role player to being, again, one of the best 3-and-D guys and one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. So if the Spurs are playing up to their potential and everybody is healthy, then they do pose a unique problem in the fact that they can throw lineups out there where they have two lockdown perimeter defenders and they have Tim Duncan, who's still one of the best four or five post defenders. And I think that the Warriors could struggle against that because there just aren't many teams where you have three truly elite defenders that can be on the court in crunch time, and the Spurs can do that.
You know what's a sneaky part of that Spurs lineup that you talk about with Parker, Green, and Kawhi? The Spurs get to hide Tony Parker somewhere usually.
Yeah.
They don't really get to hide him against Golden State. Golden State usually gets to hide Curry somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really get to hide him either.
That's true.
So they're just probably going to end up going Curry at Parker, and both of them just killing each other.
Yeah.
And then they're also going to have Kawhi to switch on. And then the Warriors also have Klay to switch whoever's hot. And then there's Harrison Barnes, this weird Swiss Army knife. You still got Sean Livingston that can pose weird matchup problems in the second unit. It's just one of those things where you just go down the line and you come up with all of these fascinating pros and cons for each side where you don't really come out with a favorite. The only thing that you have to go with when you're trying to make a pick is you just think that the team that has the 82-game sample size of being incredible
right.
ends up. But the Spurs have this 15-year sample size of knowing what to do in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
So that, to me, I'm already looking ahead to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
we all win,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that series would be one of the best series that we've seen in a long time. If the Spurs and the Warriors are facing the Western Conference Finals, you've got two of the smartest coaches in the league. You've got the Steve Kerr going up against the mentor in Greg Popovich, the passing of the torch narrative. I mean, it would just be a perfect, perfect series. And I think that ultimately the reason why I do think that the Warriors will make it is that having that game 7 in Golden State, where they have the best home court advantage in basketball.
A real home court advantage.
Yeah. I think that swings the series. And the Spurs are going to have to potentially win 3 game 7s on the road just to get to the finals. That's going to be tough.
We have one last listener question. The ghost that haunts the Hotel Congress wants us all to pick our NBA champion. Rusty?
That is so darn hard. It is scary. And I go the Final Four, I see it as Cleveland, Chicago, San Antonio, Golden State. And so my champion out of that is Golden State. It's hard for me to pick against them right now. I think San Antonio is brilliant for all the reasons that Matt listed. And gosh, if they were to beat Golden State, I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's going to be an amazing series. I think that the Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers is a great series. The Bulls, if Derrick Rose is really going to do this, I mean, they're as good as any team out there, pretty much. And so they're deep. They're really athletic. They do a lot of the little things right. They know how to defend. Chicago's going to be a really, really tough matchup for anybody.
Yeah, I guess my Final Four would be like yours, but swapping out the Hawks for the Bulls. And I think both of those series would be great series. But I think that the Warriors, it's just, again, it's hard to root against the sample size. I mean, the 82 games of dominance is tough to argue against. And then, once again, that Game 7 advantage that they'll have in the finals as well against any team that they face, that's going to be decisive in a competitive series. So I'll go with the Warriors as well.
I'm going to go with the Warriors too. We'll make that 3-for-3 because I think they've been the defining team of this season. I think when we think back on 2014, 2015, what basketball was, the pivotal, like this is kind of a pivotal season for the future of the league with the cap going up the way that it is, the way that analytics has kind of taken over the way teams play, kind of the way that teams shape their rosters now. I feel like everybody's going to want to try to be the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the Warriors are going to get to be the Warriors much longer than this season because of the kind of luxury tax bills they might run into on the short term, whether or not those guys want to pay everybody that's there. Draymond Green is up for the big contract that he's going to get. I think he stays there. What do they do? How do they manipulate this roster? I just feel like the future of the league is going to look like what the Warriors are now. So I just think big picture, it's best if they win the title because I like the way that the title seems to indicate where the league was at a specific time. I want to see them win. I think they will win. And that's going to do it for episode one, regular season episode one of Can't Wait. We're going to have a Facebook page. It's probably going to be called Can't Wait. I'm guessing we'll have a Twitter feed. Somebody probably already took Can't Wait. So let's just say hypothetically, Can't Wait KXCI.
That's probably fine.
The real Can't Wait.
Yeah, da real Can't Wait. We're going to probably have an email address. Hypothetically, it would be can'twait@kxci.org. It could be can'twaitkxci@gmail.com. All that's going to be up on the website, kxci.org. At some point, there's going to be a logo. We're going to have actual listeners send in questions. Burst the bubble, but those were all fake. So
Jean-Claude?
Jean-Claude might be real, but for our intents and purposes, I made him
up. Well, I know good old Tom.
Yeah, good old Tom is very real. He is very real. He's the realest one here.
Yeah.
So that is it. Episode one of Can't Wait, and we're going to keep doing this until someone tells us not to.